Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Today we're talking about weight loss and healthy habits we can build together. Our UW Madison professor, Dr. Corrine Voyles, our guest with us. She's currently leading the study. It's called Partner to Lose, and the two is the number two, so it's Partner to Lose. It's looking into whether a person's significant other can help weight loss or maybe go the other way. So what do you want to know about quarantine weight gain? Have you changed in your lifestyle and routines because of the pandemic, and has it impacted your health? What healthy routines are you working on? I hope you'll join in the conversation. Number to call, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. Dr. Corrine Voyles, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, how did this study come about, Dr. Voyles? Are you and other doctors seeing weight gain in patients?
So actually, this study did start before the pandemic. We just happened to be lucky to conduct the study during the pandemic, so we can sort of, you know, see what has happened to people since the pandemic. And then we'll have some people who joined the study before the pandemic, and maybe we'll be able to compare those things.
So how much do we know about how significant weight gain has been during the pandemic? Is there much information out there?
So there's not a strong evidence base right now. There have been some small survey studies that are probably not representative. So I don't think we really know the prevalence of weight gain right now. I think all of us are hearing anecdotally from people we know, or, you know, or social media and so forth. There are definitely people who are gaining weight. And on the other hand, I also see a lot of people who are able to focus on weight loss during this time. So I think it goes both ways.
Yeah, I think you're right. I've actually lost weight during this whole mess. What might be contributing to weight gain for folks during the pandemic? I guess there'd be lots of reasons.
Yeah, well, I think there's been, you know, a disruption to a lot of people's routines. People tend to be able to maintain their weight over long term if they have a routine, if they, you know, have an exercise routine, if they tend to eat the same types of meals over time. So I think disruption to the routine is definitely a part of it. A lot of people have increased stress, you know, caretaking duties, changes in their job, maybe loss of a job. And a lot of people cope with stress by eating and maybe by exercising less. So that's probably contributing as well.
Yeah, or drinking.
Drinking, yes.
That's probably, well, you know what, when this whole thing started, I had to, after a week or two, I had to sit down and think, you know, I walk from my office to the radio station, I would, every day, and that's a mile one way and a mile back the other, and there's 2 miles right there that I suddenly was without.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to think about ways to get that extra couple, 3 miles in there.
Yep, I've been through the same thing.
Well, Abby in Cottage Grove has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Abby.
Okay. Hi. I was just going to add that for me, just with being able to work more from home during this time, have been able to focus a little bit more on self-care and realizing to take some more time and doing more walking and more exercising and so in a sense, it's been good.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you, Abby, for calling. And that's something that I think I've seen in some of my friends, and it's kind of gone the other way with others of my friends, but it's definitely something to think about. I know so many folks have altered how they work, they school or socialize, and how much does change of routine affect our health and fitness? Is it really, I mean, you were talking about it a little bit earlier, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest, if you look in the literature, that is one of the biggest things that contributes to health behavior. And so even things like medication adherence, exercise, all kinds of things, disruption to the routine is big. And I think particularly, you know, our weight is most affected by what we eat. And so when we're in a routine, we might tend to eat the same types of things for breakfast. You might have the same thing every day for breakfast and lunch, and then maybe dinner varies a little bit, and you might, you know, have snacks at your work or so forth. So people tend to be able to do well when they're in that routine, but when it gets disrupted, that's when it really contributes to weight gain.
Yeah. So tell us a little about your study. What's the background of it, and how will it work?
Yeah. So interesting background. Dating back to the 70s, probably, there was research showing that people who were married and had social support tended to live longer, and they had healthier outcomes. And so naturally, people started wondering in other areas, well, would social support, you know, help for, let's say, weight loss? So there were a lot of studies actually done in the 70s and 80s looking at whether involving a spouse in a weight loss program would improve weight loss. And a lot of those studies, you know, took some interesting approaches. So some of them would have the spouse kind of hold back money from the person trying to lose weight. And each week, if they weighed in and they lost weight, they would get some money. Or there would be this accountability factor where you have to report to your spouse if you lost weight. And they didn't really find that that improved weight loss over time. And I think there was this period of time where people stopped doing these studies looking at spousal involvement because they ended up thinking, well, maybe this isn't helpful. But I went back and I looked at all the old studies and I said, you know, I don't know if this is capitalized on what we've learned recently about social support and how we interact with our domestic partners. And so I've been working with a clinical psychologist who, you know, does this in private practice, but also in research, looking at applying cognitive behavioral therapy for couples to this new area of weight loss. And so we're training couples, those who get randomized, to receive the couples-based intervention. We're teaching them communication skills, so sharing your thoughts and feelings with one another and engaging in joint problem solving. And we're going to see if that improves weight loss over people participating on their own.
So, and you're currently looking for participants. Who can join that study?
Yeah, so basic eligibility criteria. So you can also go to our website and find out more and fill out an eligibility screening form. But basically, a person needs to have excess weight. So their body mass index needs to be over 30, or it can be between 27 and 29.9 if they have an obesity-related disease like hypertension or diabetes. They need to be living with a domestic partner. The domestic partner does not need to be overweight themselves. We're taking ages 18 to 74, and basically you need to be healthy enough that we wouldn't say weight loss is not a good idea for you.
Okay.
So those are the basic criteria.
Yeah, and how long does this research program go? How long will it last?
So the entire research study is for 5 years, but each couple participates for 2 years. So once we enroll you, we would follow you for 2 years, and you would be with us for that long.
Oh, okay. And so I'm thinking of different ways you're going to check on success, the impact of having a partner. How are you going to measure that, just in terms of weight or what else?
Yeah, so weight is what we would call our primary outcome. That's the thing we're really looking for. We weigh people every 6 months. So when they first enter the study, and then every 6 months thereafter up until month 24. But we're also looking at things like what people eat. So we have a survey that asks people to, you know, report on their what they ate over the last 24 hours a couple of times. And we do that every 6 months as well. We're giving people Fitbits so that we're counting their steps and checking their activity. And then we're also surveying people about their relationships with their partner to see how they communicate about diet and exercise.
Fitbits are kind of nice. They're a great reminder.
They sure are. They work for a lot of people. Huh? I like the little buzzing at 10 before the hour.
Yeah. Have you stood up and, you know, stand up for a minute or whatever
yeah.
it is. It's a great reminder. Jim and Stevens Point. It's your turn. Jim, hi. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. The pandemic really changed my routine because I'm a swimmer and I swim 3 to 5 times a week, and I'm not going to go into a locker room these days. So I've had to move it to walking and biking, which is fine, but I really miss the swim, and that's been my routine for 25 years.
Yeah. How do you get over, you know, that's an interesting point that Jim raised. You know, if there's something like swimming, which is a lot harder to do perhaps in this COVID time, how do you get yourself into something else?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, not just swimming, but people who really depend on going to the gym, and the gyms were closed, and some people just don't feel comfortable going back even though they reopened. So I think it's important just to identify an activity that you would enjoy instead, and think of this as, hopefully this is relatively short term, you know, it's not going to last for the rest of our lives, hopefully. So finding an activity you can do for now that will substitute for that's great. I think it's great, Jim, that you identified something that you can do right now. You know, people are moving to watching videos at home, taking walks. Of course, that's going to be harder when it gets colder and darker outside. But I think for now, I see a lot of people out on the trails, running and biking and walking and so forth. So I think it's great to just find that activity that you like and that you can stick with.
Yeah. And Jim, who knows, maybe you'll come to like biking a lot, maybe even more than swimming, if you keep it up for a while. You never know. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too. We're taking a look at a COVID-19 weight gain and partner study with our guest, Dr. Corrine Boyles. She's a professor in the Department of Surgery at UW-Madison, currently leading the study called Partner to Lose, which will find out whether involving a person's significant other in their weight loss helps or hinders the process. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jana Rose Schleiss, our producer today. Jane Rotunda, our on-air producer. Tyler Ditter, our engineer. And you are listening to the Ideas Network. We're taking a look at a study, a COVID-19 weight gain and partner study, with the person who's leading that study, Dr. Corrine Boyles. She's a professor in the Department of Surgery at UW-Madison. Questions or comments, or maybe your own experience relating to weight gain or loss, give a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Reggie in Oshkosh will give you a chance. Hi, Reggie.
Hi, Larry. Love your show. Thanks again for keeping everything going for us. I'm a truck driver, so my life hasn't really slowed down all that much, but my wife's a stay-at-home mom and a homeschooler, has been homeschooling our kids since they started school, and all their programs that kept them active and socialized have been canceled because of COVID. They've put on some weight, so, you know, no taekwondo, no swimming, no basketball, none of that. And, you know, we're looking for ways to keep the kids active, you know, up and down the stairs, around the block when it's not too hot. I got an inflatable swimming pool, and it's kind of working. And we were also interested in signing up for that couple's spousal support study.
All right. Well, Reggie, thanks a lot for calling. Dr. Boyles, comment.
No, I think your experience is very consistent with my own and other people I hear. I think it's great that you're trying to find other activities for the kids, and I think that'll continue to be a challenge as we head into the school year and, again, as the weather changes. So I say keep at it, you know, find something that works for now, and then as things change, try to find something else.
And what's the here's Reggie and his wife are interested maybe in getting involved in your study. You mentioned it earlier, but it bears repeating, I think. How do people get involved?
Sure. So we have a website, partnertolose.com. And if you go to it, it's got information about the study. And it also has an eligibility form that you can fill out. So you'll go through and answer some questions and determine if you're eligible. And if you are, we'll go ahead and schedule you for a virtual, now it's virtual, eligibility visit just to confirm that. And then we'll get you started in the study.
Yeah. And again, partner to lose, it's partner and then the number two, not the word two. It's partner2lose.com to fill out that online screening form, Reggie, and anybody else for that matter. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Well, Greta in Dodgeville, your turn. Hi, Greta.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make sure to mention any apps that people could download on their phones. I keep an app going that's linked with my iPhone Heart app, and it's been able to give me I've been able to keep like a great goal of 100 miles of walking a month. And because of doing that, I've kept up with it. I'm a teacher, so I normally am running after kids, but I'm not right now. So keeping that goal, it's been great. And I've walked over 500 miles since COVID. So it's been great.
Wow.
Good for you, Greta.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's impressive. And so apps, what do you, I'm sure you're in favor of those as well, Dr. Voiles.
Yeah, I think apps are great. Actually, one of the best kind of predictors of long-term success with weight loss or weight loss maintenance is something called self-monitoring. So it means keeping track of your weight, also keeping track of your activity and your diet. And so people who tend to keep it off over the long term tend to do that more. And apps are a great way to do that. In the old days, we did it on a pencil and paper, but apps are certainly convenient. And of course, if you have an activity tracker, like we were talking about earlier, you can connect it and automatically syncs and you get that information instantly. So I think apps have just made it so much easier to monitor what we're doing over time and be able to see, do we need to make changes at this point?
Yeah, I use MapMyRun, which is a nice one. And it has little contests. There's a you versus the year kind of contest. And so it shows you when you run, it shows you where you are in relation to the other 350,000 people who are in the you versus the air. I'm in the top 15%, I think, somewhere in there. So I feel good about myself when I see that. So it is a kind of a positive reinforcement. And then I look at my heart little icon on my iPhone, and yesterday I had 19,600 steps, so that's reasonably good. I think 10,000 is what you're supposed to be. So there you go, Greta. Thank you so much for calling. Let's turn to Kay in Racine next. Hi, Kay.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a nurse, and I'm aware that sugar challenges the immune system. So as soon as the pandemic started, I cut out all extraneous sugar, and increased the fruits and vegetables that we eat, and it has the result of having lost weight. I'm back to 2 pounds above my college weight. And so that's kind of a result of the pandemic, making me pay more attention to eating incredibly healthy. And so far, I haven't gotten the virus. So,
yeah, well, there you go.
Great. I'm exposed to it often. So that's a plus for me.
And your partner, how's your partner doing?
Losing weight, too. I'm not buying sugar.
You have fewer trips to the grocery store, so there's less opportunity for ice cream or something. Okay, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Chris emailed wondering about anaerobic versus aerobic approaches, seeing the greatest initial results. Wondering if you had a thought on that.
I would say that's a little outside my area of expertise. I would ask one of my exercise physiology colleagues. Yeah, so that's all I have to say to that.
Okay. All right. We'll go on to Mark from Black River Falls. He's a disabled vet, was forced to find different activities. He highly recommends kayaking as a great workout. And it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're a kayaker or not, Dr. Voiles. But
used to be, yes. That's definitely great upper body. You can get your heart rate up. It's definitely great.
So the choice to focus on whether a person's significant other can help or does it hurt with weight loss, go back to how you chose or why you chose to focus on that.
Yeah, well, I got interested in this kind of early in my career because I was talking to people about how they, you know, managed their everyday health. And a lot of people talked about the importance of their spouse, both in helping them and hindering them. And so I recognize that people assume that just because you, you know, are married or have a partner that you're going to do better. But that ended up not being the case when I looked back into the old literature, especially dating back to the 70s and 80s. So I just thought a new approach was needed for this. And I think we don't really know the answer to that question. I think there's an assumption that having somebody can help with that, but we don't really know if that's the case. So we decided to design the study to answer that question.
Yeah, I'm wondering about those people who don't have a partner or who live alone. Maybe they can't join. I don't imagine they can join your study.
No.
But I'll go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, not this particular study. I've done many studies just involving a single person. I think, you know, a lot of people have other kinds of relationships. And so we happen to be testing this approach in domestic partners, people with whom you live and you have frequent opportunities for interaction and sharing meals and so forth. But there certainly is a lot of research going on out there about just family involvement more broadly or involving people that you don't necessarily live with or have less frequent interaction. And I think those are all important studies as well, because even if you don't have a domestic partner, you can get support from other people. They can be your colleagues, your friends, your sister who lives in another city or so forth.
Yeah, so maybe they can't join the study, but the research and findings, I would think, could be modified or applied to these folks.
Yeah, we certainly think so. You know, the idea of, you know, expressing what kind of support you need, a lot of people vary in the types of things that they find supportive. So one person might want someone to check in on them. Another person might not like that. They might just want to be able to share how they feel and have somebody say, hey, great job. So I think this kind of general idea of identifying what you find helpful and asking your support partner, whoever that might be, for that should be helpful.
Yeah, so it's communication skills there. And I imagine they will... partners in the study will receive weight loss and communication skills.
Yes.
Yep. And are there some ways to communicate about weight loss that typically aren't good?
I would say not necessarily across the board, because again, it depends on each individual's preferences. So I've heard people say, well, I don't like it when my partner checks in and says, did you have any cookies today? Or did you buy that? Or why did you buy that? You know, some people just find that really offensive, or and it might even cause them to go overboard and eat more of it, to say, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to eat more of this. So it can have that unintended effect, you know, and other people would find it really helpful to have someone check in on them every day and say, hey, did you eat dessert after dinner? So people really vary.
Yeah, and I was thinking back to one of the earlier studies you mentioned. I couldn't imagine having a study where somebody gave me money if I lost weight.
Yeah, so I mean, that's especially not your partner. There are a lot of studies looking at getting, you know, money for losing weight, but that money might be from the research team or from your employer or your health plan, which that might be a very different thing than receiving it from your partner.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, Dr. Corrine Voiles, our guest today, a professor in the Department of Surgery at UW-Madison. She's leading this study called Partners to Lose, Go to PartnersToLose.com to see if you might qualify for it. And give a call with your own questions or comments. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@WPR.org. Has your weight increased since the coronavirus pandemic? I think we've mostly heard from people who have lost weight. I haven't heard anything from people who have been gaining weight. So what do you think contributed to gain or loss or healthy routines? What are you working on? How do you and your partner work together to keep fit? 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. You know, the pandemic, it's keeping folks obviously home more, and many of us are spending more time with partners and family. I'm spending a lot more time with daughter Emily, for sure. Could that increased time together benefit health and fitness? What do you think?
Could it benefit? Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, a lot of people like to exercise with a partner, and I try to set up to meet different people to take walks or meet at the gym to provide that accountability. And also, you're killing two birds with one stone. You're socializing while you're doing that. So I think having family at home and engaging in activities together, I think it was Jim, the earlier caller who called in and had kids at home doing different activities. I think if you can find things to do together, it's a great way to bond and, you know, stay healthy at the same time.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Well, I don't know if I should be surprised, but as in my morning jogs, I see a lot of people who I'm pretty sure aren't living together, but they're people who meet up and they're mm-hmm. kind of their partner for the morning jog, and they're gabbing away and having a good old time. I guess it's a good way to do it.
Definitely. I see the same thing, and I do the same thing. I meet people, hey, you want to meet at 6 a.m. tomorrow? Let's do this. So.
Yeah. So do you think it makes weight loss more effective to exercise together?
Well, I think it can definitely help. I think, again, exercise is not as big for weight loss as dietary changes, but exercise definitely helps with weight loss maintenance and, of course, mood improvements and stress reduction and so forth. So I think there are a lot of benefits coming out of exercise. And if having a person do that with you, it doesn't have to be your partner. It can be your friend, coworker, neighbor. If that can help you stick to the routine and be accountable, then that's all the better.
Yeah. Let's take another call. Sarah in Glendale, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a great topic, all the different social experiments that are going on during this different time. So I live with my partner here in Glendale and his three kids. And what's interesting is because we're both working from home and have had a lot of extra time with no commutes and such, the two of us have lost weight. We've been really much more active. And in fact, everyone in the neighborhood, we've seen a lot more people walking, and we've been doing a lot of biking, and we generally eat healthfully anyway. But the kids, it's such a struggle because their whole routine, the last part of the school year, no gym, no summer camp, the gym that we belong to as a family, we aren't going. They're sort of allowing some, you know, membership back, but it's really been a struggle to find ways that they're not used to just, okay, let's get out and take a bike ride. And the interest level is just not there, and they're in middle and high school years, so they've all put on weight, and we're really trying, but it, so far it has not had success getting the kids motivated.
Yeah.
So, well, in our household.
All right. Well, that is. I'd be interested in hearing from anybody else who's has some ideas about how to do that, how to get the kids motivated and involved in activities that takes the weight off. But Dr. Voyle's comment from you.
Well, I'm thinking about my own daughter who's 13 and is probably listening right now, rolling her eyes. But she's actually been meeting her friends to take bike rides. So they take turns going to each other's houses. They bring the bikes to everybody's house and then they take a bike ride, which they would have never done this before without the pandemic. But she knows that in order to see her friends, they need to be outside and be physically distanced. And so they've taken up riding bikes. I've seen other kids in our neighborhood. We live close to a park, so they'll go out and kick a soccer ball around. Again, trying to find these places where you can be physically distanced. And actually, my daughter likes to do videos with me, so our gym has a virtual library, and we can do those videos. And I know every kid's not going to like that, but mine happens to like it, and it's a good way for us to spend time together. So I think it's, you know, experimenting, definitely talking to other families to get ideas. Great idea.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. My daughter is 16, soon to be 17, and... Well, this week, for example, she's involved in a soccer camp for kids, but it's, you know, it's one of these where you're separated and so forth. But the kids are kicking a soccer ball around, and then she plays soccer herself. So that is a great exercise, and just Maybe our caller should just get some soccer balls and see what the kids can do with them in the backyard, if nothing else. Oh, man. Well, it is a great summer. Of course, a great time to get outside and move. You know, looking ahead to winter in Wisconsin. How do folks keep up eating right and exercising regularly through the colder temperatures? That's always a little harder. It's not so much, for me, it's not as much the cold as it is the dark.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we can always find things to do either indoors or on the weekends, certainly get out and, you know, do your cross-country skiing or snowshoeing or whatever. But I think the weekdays when we're at work and, well, we won't be driving this winter perhaps, but mm-hmm. Usually, you know, you're driving to work in the dark and driving home from work in the dark. And so I think that's tough. And I've expressed to people in my own network, you know, this is fun now. I can get up and walk at 6 a.m., but what's going to happen in the winter? So I think we're all going to struggle with making that change and just, you know, again, maybe doing more videos at home, or a lot of people have gotten home exercise equipment. I think we're all going to have to turn to those sort of things.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Someone else was wondering sort of the time commitment for your study. What kinds of, I don't know, rules, is that the right thing? Or what kinds of things will they have to do, and how often will they have to do it, and that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So again, you would be involved for 24 months. In the first 6 months, we have people meet as a group every 2 hours. The sessions last about an hour or an hour and a half, and they used to be done in person, but right now they're being done virtually on a video conferencing platform. So that's about it, you know, hour and a half every 2 weeks for 6 months. After that, we start spacing out the contact. So initially, we're doing it still every 2 weeks, but it eventually spaces out to monthly telephone calls with our dietitian, and then eventually every 2 months. And so I would say the biggest time commitment is that first 6 months where you have to call in every 2 weeks.
Yeah, but the fact that it's virtual now is almost an advantage in some ways. You should be able to involve people no matter where they live in the state.
No, that's absolutely true. And we've seen actually anecdotally, you know, hearing from my team, people are calling in on time instead of, you know, showing up late because of the traffic. And they feel like we have greater attendance. So, and there's great engagement. So I think there have been a lot of benefits to moving it virtually. The challenge is trying to get people's weights, of course, because we would rather do that in person. And right now we're having to have people take photos of their weight and upload it to us. So.
Whoa. Yeah, so that, and everybody's scale's a little different. But I guess, though, if you've got a scale that weighs one way, if it weighs a little heavier, a little light, you're using the same scale all the time, so it should be relatively good, I would think.
Yeah, and we are actually mailing people scales, so that's a new thing that we're doing. And yeah, you're right though that if your scale's a little off from another scale, you know, everyone knows when they weigh themselves at home, their scale's different than maybe the one in the doctor's office. But I think the important thing is that it's consistent across time, so it can track changes across time.
Well, I like my scale better than the one at the doctor's office because my scale always reads lighter than the one in the doctor's office.
We all feel that way.
Every time I step on that scale, I think, wait a minute. No, I was 4 pounds lighter than that at home. I didn't gain 4 pounds on the way to the doctor's office. Oh, my goodness me. Well, let's go over once again, and you still have need for people to be involved in this, right?
We do, although I believe we're about full here for the next group that is starting in September, but we will be recruiting again for starting up in January, which everyone loves to start a weight loss program in January.
Yeah.
So we'll be collecting names. People can still go to the website right now and put in their information, and we can contact them again in about December, so if we're looking for people in January. So,
and they will be getting some information from a nutritionist as well, correct?
Yes. So we have the two people primarily who are delivering our program are a registered dietitian and an exercise physiologist. So there's a lot of nutrition education and then, of course, the communication skills training. But then we also have about 15 minutes of exercise at the end of each class. And so we teach people a variety of different exercises. Some of it's cardio, some of it's strength training, some of it's stretching, just to give people ideas of things they could do at home without special equipment.
And I would think, you know, if you do this for 2 years, you get this ingrained into your system and your partner's, you know, routine, that could be have long-range positive influences or impacts.
Well, yeah, we hope it does. It's really interesting because there are a lot of studies that last 1 and 2 years, and we tend to see this kind of what we call a checkmark pattern where people decrease their weight initially, and then they slowly start to regain it even while they're in the study and, you know, receiving calls from the dietitian and so forth. So we are hoping that when we involve the partner, it'll kind of change that pattern and not have so many people regain weight, and that we really create those long-lasting new habits and patterns.
Yeah, well, it's been great fun talking with you. And again, the study is called Partners to Lose, and then it's partner and the number 2 and then the word lose, partnertolose.com. Go there, fill out an online screening form, and see if you might qualify for it. And Dr. Voyles, a really interesting study. You're going to have to come back and tell us what you found.
Yes, I would love to. We're looking forward to learning that.
Dr. Corrine Voyles, a professor in the Department of Surgery at UW-Madison, currently leading the study Partners to Lose, which will find out whether involving a person's significant other in their weight loss helps or hinders the process. We certainly hope it helps. So we're talking about partners on the show, but we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about relationships between mothers and daughters. That coming up, a great new book. It's called Crooked Hallelujah. Kelly Jo Ford, the author, and she's our guest next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.